Good afternoon. My name is Deborah Johnson. I'm going to convene the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee meeting on July 11th, 2013. Review of the agenda. Does anyone have any corrections, additions, comments on the agenda for today?
Is it possible to pull that mic closer?
Sure. Sorry about that. Thank you, Wayne. Any other comments? Questions? The only comment, do we have a specific time when Secretary Gessler will be here, or do we, is he in the building? Or?
He's in the building. He knows okay. He's going to be up early on, so he, okay. Should, he would be here momentarily. I
think. No problem. Just wanted to make sure we meet his schedule. Summary of the meeting was passed out. Let's take a few minutes and review it to see if anyone has any corrections or changes.
While you're doing that, Madam Chair, I will note that Connie Engmeyer called me and said she had a little bit of a late start this morning, but she should be here by 20 after.
Great, thank you.
And then Sheila and Wayne are both conferencing in.
Did I hear that you guys are reviewing the agenda?
We're reviewing the meeting summary. May meeting.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Just for right now, having people a chance to look at it.
There's no second page. It says page one and two at the bottom.
There is no second page.
Okay.
Look like it's done.
So I think there was, and I think I spaced it all to where I could get it on one. didn't change it.
Any comments? Enough time? Accept them? Accept? Okay. Any comments? None? No comments, so we'll accept them as printed. I think Al just went out to get the Secretary of State. In the meantime, George, you want to give us an update on what's happening with the public participation panel?
Sure. There was a meeting on June the 26th here in the Secretary's offices. That will be the last one here in Denver. We're going to be going on a bit of a road show to be able to try to collect more public comment around the state. There are three meetings scheduled for Pueblos, Fort Collins, and Grand Junction. And there's a discussion about ways to spread the word around to invite more public comment at those meetings. There was a discussion of the scope of the comments that they're soliciting, and it was expressed that there was a desire to try to focus people on the UBS system rather than have a general discussion of all matters related to elections in general, and that that would probably be more likely to be focused after the RFP goes out, because then all people have a document to be commenting on at that point.
We on the phone can't hear very well.
Oh, move a little closer. Also, a couple of people made public comment. Two gentlemen, Jim August and Al Kolwitz, gave testimony. The main point that I'd summarize from those is there was some reports of malfunctioning in systems, and that just underscored the point about a need for independent testing of whatever system is eventually chosen so that the system performs as promised, and a need for accountability and ability to go back to the vendors and a plan for independent testing was one of the items that was heavily discussed during the meeting. And won't bore you with all of these details, but basically I think the next meeting is in Pueblo at the end of this month on the 31st of July. Does anyone have any questions on that meeting? Not that, that was pretty much it.
I understand the chair of the public participation, Clarissa. Do you have any other comments you want to make?
No, George pretty much covered it all. The only thing is that we ended up...
Clarissa, can you come on and open up some mics since we're streaming?
Oh.
Thank you.
Clarissa, the chair of the public participation panel. We had discussion, as George mentioned, about where we're going to in the next phase, and we will be going to Pueblo July 31st from 1 to 4 o'clock is our first public hearing out on the field. After that, we will be going to Grand Junction in August and Fort Collins to sum up the public participation phase. Our discussion mainly was around, aside from a few folks speaking, there was concern that the process is going a little bit too fast, and some of the members wanted to slow down the process as well. We also talked about a series of questions that ought to be included and sent to the clerks, and that was an issue of contention because I expressed my concern that it shouldn't be sent as a dissertation to the clerks because it's too long, but I think I was overruled. There was the need and the pressing need from the other members of the panel that it should be sent to the clerks because we need to know and find out all the technical specs that ought to be made available in this RFP and for the public to be able to offer their input. And I'm sure that you've all been made aware of this survey. So if you have any questions about that, I'm happy to answer them.
Sure, go ahead, Jimena.
It's Donetta, thank you. On the survey, has it been made aware to you that federally there's requirements and state requirements on what the equipment should be and the standards that it should meet? Has that been made aware to the committee? A presentation maybe been made to you?
I think that a presentation would probably be something that the panel should get so that everybody's on the same page. There's been a lot of discussion of what we needed to do and what we don't need to do, but it would serve a benefit for the folks in our panel to be able to understand what the clerks do, what the requirements are, so that we are not burning anybody in the process of seeking public comments.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments for Clarissa?
I just wanted to add one thing. For that July 31st meeting, I'm actually traveling out of the country during that time, so I'm not going to be able to participate even by phone. So if you wanted to appoint someone else to cover, at least listening in if they didn't want to travel to Pueblo.
Pueblo? You're going?
Oh, you are.
Okay. Do you mind being our representative, Faith? Does anybody have problems with that on the committee that Faith be our representative at the Pueblo meeting? Awesome. Faith is it.
Great. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. Anything else on the public participation panel input comments? I understand the secretary is here, so he's front and center.
How y'all doing?
Living the dream.
Living the dream every day. I only say that when I'm incredibly cynical. So I'm trusting that I'm unique in that way. So Al asked me to come. Let's to chat a little bit about sort of what the scope and the size of the RFP is going to be. And let me sort of go over what I know and make sure that we're all on the same page. So there were about eight areas of disagreement. Let me say, or not entirely disagreement, but emphasis as to whether something should go in the RFP or not. And that had to do with an e-poll book, ballot printing, ballot mailing, ballot tracking, election worker management, polling place survey, issue tracking, and poll worker training. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I went over it and talked about this at length and looked into this. Let me sort of tell you where I'm thinking and coming out on this. And I think I think in some instances it's a difference of emphasis, because, you know, by including all of the stuff in the RFP, that means we want to, you all want to explore that as being part of a unified system, or uniform system, so that we sort of have a very holistic approach on that. And I think we share that. But the way I'm looking at it is, it's sort of a, whether you want to call it a yes but or a no but there's a but in here. And let me sort of just go through each one of these and tell you my thinking. I'd like to get your input as well. So with respect to the electronic poll book, as you know, House Bill 1303 essentially requires an electronic poll book, and we're moving forward on that to a large extent already within the score system. So my sense is that it shouldn't be part of this RFP, but rather through the different process that we're using as part of the score system, to make sure that we've got the electronic poll book, since it's going to be required to essentially become part of the score system. With respect to ballot printing and ballot mailing, the way I looked at that is the actual RFP for what the printing and the mailing requirements are is going to depend to a large extent on what the vendor selection is for the underlying UBS. So the way I would look at that is sort of what I would call a round two of UBS. The answer is, yeah, we need that, but we should probably have in place what the underlying system is going to be, so that then we can approach vendors and others to say, this is what the mailing or the printing has to comport with. Ballot tracking, I do think that's appropriate to put in an RFP for this go-round. My sense is, and Deb, correct me if I'm wrong, that right now, I think Denver is the only county that does this. I know that you're looking at ways of improving your system. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes sense to include this as part of UBS for ballot tracking. This is not something that we as an office have ever really looked at closely, so I can't say we even have any solutions in place right now. And I think it would be important for us to get that information. With respect to election worker management, my sense right now, SCORE does a relatively poor job of helping counties with that. And the reason why, I think, is because there's just such a diversity among counties. But so many counties do this in different ways. So I don't think we're prepared to be able to put together an RFP for this, but I do think what would make sense would be to hold a study group, or maybe call this round two, put this in part of round two, and really sort of bring, a broad swath of clerks and reporters together to discuss exactly how they manage their election workers, what commonalities there are, and what type of system may be able to work with that. Because right now, you know, to have a UBS with respect to election worker management means that you need to have processes that lend themselves to that. I don't think we have that, at least my understanding, at least currently, because there's such diversity among county practices. The next item was a polling place survey with respect to disabled voters and making sure that the polling places are appropriate and meet those requirements. To a large extent, we already have that in place in the sense that, you know, Lisa goes around and consistently talks. I see Faith nodding her head a little bit. So my sense is we have that in place now internally. That doesn't mean it can't be improved, but it's not like when you throw it out and build something new. With respect to issue tracking, customer responses, speaking to voters, tracking what issues come up on a consistent basis. Rather than include this as a separate RFP, we went through a pretty thorough RFP process already internally within our office, issue tracking for a CRM, customer relationship management system. So it's, you know, 2-decade-old technology within the private sector. My understanding is we're the only state government that's rolled it out. And we've been rolling it out for about a year now, almost. And what we essentially did is the SCORE Help Desk, was one of our first pilot projects where we really brought that CRM in. And what that does is, you know, helps you track issues, I guess, is a good way to say that. We already have purchased that system. We already have a substantial amount of experience in the office here. We're finishing the rollout with respect to our service center, the one that takes the, you know, 100-some thousand calls every year. Looking at that, that is pretty easily extendable for its to counties. We would need to set up, you know, 64 licensing seats with people there, but I mean, we can do this pretty easily without going through yet another RFP, because CRM is essentially what we're talking about. And that, so we already have that, I think, foundation that we can extend to what we have. So I don't think that would be appropriate in the RFP currently. Poll worker training, the two things I look at that, one is for the content, we're going to need to wait a little bit because, as you know, once we decide what the UVS looks like, then we figure out how people train upon it. You know, Amy's done a good job internally with our office, and we have a, she's not quite a full-time resource, but she does a great job as far as training, and I think we're able to devote substantial internal resources on that for when that comes out. If we need to augment it with an RFP, whether for a time standpoint or bandwidth, we can certainly do that, but I don't think we need to make that as part of the RFP now. So in a lot of these instances, I think I agree with you all in that it should be part of UVS or could be part of UVS. I guess I'm encouraged that you're thinking about UVS expansively, and that's good. A couple of these, I think it's a, well, one, obviously, let's definitely include it. A couple, like election worker management, I think we have to wait on that, or at least dive into that a little bit more deeply. And the ballot printing and ballot mailing, I'm fine with that, but I think we have to maybe look at that as a round two. So, sort of the thoughts and analysis on that. Do y'all have any thoughts, want to engage in discussion about that? I'm certainly open to it.
What about ballot verification? That was one of my, that was not included in the RFP, and
signature verification.
Well, it's one of the ballot verifications on here. What does it mean?
I'm not tuned into that. Talk to me about the issue.
I just see that it's an issue that we've all looked at. I was the only one because I was all expansive. That
now, when you say ballot verification, what do you mean?
Good question. Maybe just a definition would be best first.
Yeah.
And what was the, I don't remember in the RFIs what they stated that was.
Deb, this is Sheila talking about signature verification.
Signature verification?
And sorters?
Sorters?
I thought, I mean, to me, gosh, you're the ones that are on the field, but once it receives, I mean, you know, tracking, basically that could go into the tracking of the ballot. Mm-hmm. Ballot verification, it arrived this date, you know, it was accepted this date, or you sent out a letter, you know, I don't know.
So ballot handling?
Yeah,
well, look, when you guys figure out exactly what you mean by ballot verification, I am more than happy to have that discussion. I'm obviously teasing you a little bit, but I'm sorry, I haven't, you know, that topic I haven't tuned into. If you're thinking sort of ballot handling as part of the
tracking,
sort of ballot tracking process, then the answer is, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Cause
the score would have most of that, I would think. I mean, but it could mean something different. I don't know.
We already have ballot tracking, but this is specifically ballot verification. I just don't remember
what that was.
Or anything.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Can we go back and look at some notes and see?
We can. It came up, the list was submitted by y'all. I think it was on Deb's list, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the one that put it on.
But
there.
And, you
can go back and talk to your staff.
You may have met signature verification when you wrote it down. We've already included that,
right,
of course.
It may have been a process for looking at ballots to make sure that they conform properly to the particular precincts that the ballots would cover, to make sure that all the proper elections were there and all the proper candidates.
I would almost view that as a subset of ballot creation, because
mm-hmm.
you gotta, as part of the creation process, you gotta verify.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer there would be, yeah, I think it should be part of the UVS RFP like you guys thought.
Okay. I will look at it.
So if it's something different than that,
no.
But at least the way you guys described it, I think it falls within what's up already within the RFP or contemplated RFP.
Hi, thanks for being here. I had Deb Gardner. I just have a couple comments. One,
I guess my concern is that, and this may never come up, but some of these things like the electronic poll book or the ballot mail and printing, that if we get down the road with this RFP and we select a vendor and then find out that they can't do these things that we feel are important, then we've gone down a road that isn't going to get us where we need to go. The idea of having a round one and a round two is concerning to me, because if what we're looking for is a uniform system, then maybe we wouldn't be able to get there if we don't have everything on the table from the get-go.
Yeah, tell me how that might work with ballot printing and ballot mailing. I mean, I'm assuming that every system you all choose is going to have, any system you choose, one of the requirements is you got to be able to print the ballots. And my sense is that the ballot printing would be the methodology used for printing it. I think theoretically I could see how that could be with
right.
some instance. I don't see how that could be with the ballot printing and mailing.
Okay.
Because those are the two that I sort of see as round two. Or you can add to that the election worker management. But I don't see how any system you choose would have that problem.
What about the poll book idea? E-poll book, yeah.
I guess, the thought is there that is, if we limit ourselves and we don't see what outside vendors can offer, we may be losing out on some functionality that we're not aware of if we just go with SCORE.
I see what you're saying. Let me think about that, and let me dive a little bit more into the SCORE team. And maybe, because the way I look at it, I mean, it's just so integral to what SCORE is. And and I know in our process, and I haven't tuned into this in a little while, we're looking at the options include outside vendors for the e-poll book as well as internally building it ourselves. You know, it's the classic build versus buy decision. And your thought is, if it's a buy decision, there may be some goodies in there that would be valuable for you to know about. Is that what I'm getting?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Let me look into that.
Okay.
And I think at a minimum, that's a fair point. And even if we keep it within the SCORE approach, which I'm inclined to do right now, I still think it would be make a lot of sense to ensure that you all, have some visibility into those, those options and can weigh in on that. Okay. So I think that makes sense.
We have them here, so drill away. I know you're dying there, Mr. Miller.
Well, one of the things that kind of bothered me, and the clerks have been emailing, with the committee and everything, so it's not unheard of, and I'm sure the staff has kind of brought you up, is our concern has always been, are we going too fast in this process? Not knowing where the money's coming from right now, are we, and knowing that we probably have a candidate here for governor, and we may have a new Secretary of State, and
I don't know if that's appropriate to discuss in this meeting.
Well, I wasn't expecting you to, and I'm sorry that I...
No, I'm teasing you, of course.
I'm looking at the future.
Right.
What does this do to us if we push it and you do it by rule, and the next secretary says you can't do it by rule, and I'm looking at, oh man, what happens down the road? Have you really looked at that, Mr. Secretary?
Yes.
And okay, good, because help us out because
look, here's the thing.
Too soon for our vendors and putting them through something that we should wait on.
I mean, we're in a dynamic environment. And if you wait, you can always get something better. And I think that'll be the way for the next century. Okay? But at some point, you have to make decisions. And I think we're at a point right now where there's a number of counties that gotta have new equipment. And I think we have a window now of moving the state in a more consolidated direction, which will give us a lot of efficiencies, purchasing power, and other things. And if we don't get this window of opportunity now, my concern is, and I think it's a valid concern, that we're going to have a lot of counties, including many of the major counties, who are, again, going to go their own way and purchase equipment because their current equipment's in bad shape. And if that happens, we're going to lose this opportunity again for the next decade or two. Okay? Because they're going to purchase equipment. And then they're going to say, appropriately so, I just made X million dollars of investment in new equipment. I'm not going to get rid of my equipment for some uniform system when my stuff works fine. And then we're going to lose all of the opportunities that we have for this. So I think we need to move forward. And I know you've been concerned about the speed with which we're moving. But, you know, this isn't going to be a 10-year process. It's just not. Now, I'm not saying that you're advocating a 10-year process, but, you know, I think people here. I know you're not. And so and that's why I said that. I don't mean to imply that. But I think we need to do our work. We need to scan things, scan the industry, look at what's out there, and make some decisions so we go forward. Other states have done this. You know, other states have put together a uniform system, and they're very successful with it, and they've reaped a lot of benefits. And I think that's one area in the state of Colorado where we lag behind our sister states. I think, frankly, in most instances, we're ahead of them in a lot of areas, but I think this is one where we're not. And so it's been done in other states. I think we can do it here. I think we need to make these decisions and move forward.
You know, and to be honest with you, it's not that we don't think this is
I understand.
Way to go. That definitely, I don't want you to get that impression.
Yeah. With respect to the financing, I mean, obviously, you all heard me come before you a while back and say, you know, we may have a solution for this. That would have required a lot of intensive time on our office's part and the treasurer's, and would have required legislative action as well. Because of the events involving election law last legislative session, for a variety of reasons, that approach became inoperative. We weren't able to spend the time on it. There was any effort of a legislative consensus on that, I don't think would have come through. So it just didn't happen. That doesn't mean that there can't be creative solutions going forward. But the way I viewed this from the very start is right now, unless the legislature decides to take tax funds, general funds, to pay for equipment, county's got to pay for this stuff. And right now, every county's on their own, and not a single one of them have any economies of scale compared to what other states have with the uniform system. And right now we've seen the problems when that happens, especially with some counties that use some systems where their acquisition costs they felt comfortable with, but they did not have the market power. They didn't have the economies of scale to be able to negotiate good life cycle costs. And they're getting whacked on that stuff. And if each county goes off on its own again, we're going to have the same problems. That's the status quo right now. So when you talk about money, the status quo right now is as bad as it gets. That's the status quo. This change here is going to make it better. I'm hoping it makes it substantially better, but it's going to make it better. Now, how you pay for it, that's the same damn problem you have with the status quo right now. It'll be less of a problem, I'm hopeful, with UBS. And there's not a state solution. I began moving towards a state solution, but could get that done last Sunday. And maybe there'll be a way to do that in the future. But well, what this is right now is far better than what we have as a state.
Sheila?
Yeah, sorry, I can't see body language, so it's kind of tough to know when to speak. Secretary Gessler, this is Sheila, and I just had a question about the enforcement section of what we're looking at, because I'm a total believer in the uniform system, and I think there's huge benefits to be had, but I'm concerned that there's nothing to prevent a county from buying something different except for your control on certification of equipment. So whatever goes through this RFP and gets approved, what does the certification process look like? Because I understand we need a rule rewrite for anybody to be certified at this point.
Yeah. I think that's a good question. That's the one unknown right now. And actually, Alan and I had a conversation earlier. I think I may have addressed that topic a little bit earlier, and I'll sort of I don't know if I did, but if I did, please excuse me for reiterating it. But look, here's my view. Right now, the certification process is a black hole, at least based on our state of knowledge. And then I think you talked a little bit about this, but there's a variety of factors that can speed up certification or that can delay certification. We don't have visibility into those factors right now. We need to get visibility into those factors. We need to dive into this and better understand what the certification consequences are for any choices that are made here. And then I think we'll be able to have a far better grip on it. You know, I mean, look, that could delay things till 2016. I hope not. Well, we're just going to have to work our way through that. But right now, that's an unknown. We need to, I think, have some intensive conversations with the laboratories that do the certification so we can better understand the factors that they look at and the factors that speed it up so that we can have some creative solutions to that on how to make sure that that any decision we make, certification happens as expeditiously as possible. The other thing is, the way I look at it is ultimately what we're choosing here is a long-term solution for the state of Colorado. I want to move as expeditiously as possible on that, obviously. But at the end of the day, I think the most important requirement is that it does provide us a long-term solution and long-term relief from costs and from complexity.
Well, on the enforcement piece, so let's say that a vendor is successful, we rate them the highest, they win the bid, and then they get through certification. Under current statute, it seems like other vendors could also apply for certification and could go through the process as well. And so is there anything to keep these from choosing something other than the state preference?
I think the answer is yes. I'm pretty sure the answer is yes, and I see Christy sort of nodding.
Would you like me to take that one?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and take that.
Hi, Sheila. This is Christy. I do want to clarify that under state law and also possibly under rule, any county, and this is existing law, any county who purchases equipment does have to get permission from the Secretary's office to do so. And we are also charged with trying to coordinate equipment purchases under current law in case we are aware that one county maybe has some surplus equipment and another is looking for that sort of thing. So I suspect what might happen is that when the Secretary selects the vendors to be the uniform voting system vendors, if a county were to acquire another vendor system, first of all, they should be asking us under the law if it's permissible to do so. Mm-hmm. And if they purchased one that was not, they would be in violation of the law if they hadn't asked us. So I think that's probably the safest way that we can handle the enforcement. That being said, my guess is it's pretty unlikely that that would happen. But if it does, we do have that safety net in the law.
So, Sheila, I realize that maybe I didn't answer your question then. Does that answer it?
Yeah, and I guess what I was thinking about, too, is counties have existing systems that are working okay for them. And so this is an opt-in model, it sounds like. But no, if you wanted an upgrade to the current system, I'm looking at the cost for, like, my county.
Right.
And an upgrade under ESS, which I already have a lot of components of, would only be about $300,000. But to replace the system, we're looking at millions.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, let me say this is not an opt-in system. This is a mandatory system with grandfather in it.
Okay.
How that grandfather clause plays out, I think, with respect to upgrades, I think that's an important conversation for us to have. So I'm not prepared to give you a specific answer right now just because I don't have one.
Well, that's good information because I think so far the commission, or the advisory committee, I mean, has been kind of talking about that this would be an opt-in system. So thank you.
No, we lose... If this is an opt-in system, we're going to lose a lot of potential benefits. You know, and I'll be frank with you. I mean, we're looking at one of the problems we have right now. Elbert County just lost 3/4 of its election staff. No, 3/4 of its entire clerk and recorder staff, 3 out of 4 people. But they're gone. Now, Douglas County has stepped up to the plate to help them out. But Douglas County can only do so much because they have fundamentally different systems. And Douglas County staff doesn't know this system that Elbert County has. And so we have problems along those lines. If it were a more uniform approach, you know, counties would be able to help one another out on a consistent basis. So I would urge you not just to look at the acquisition cost, but you got to look at the life cycle cost and the flexibility that you have over time.
Yeah, I really like the uniform system, and I think, like, you have a perfect example of why we need it, as well as facing challenges and having consistency between our counties when we have a larger race than just a race within a county. But I guess, I don't know, I just am worried about not having some firmer legislation around it before we move forward.
Well, we think there's already a legislative framework, so.
Okay.
But happy to discuss it more.
I have one more question about the certification process. So after the vendor has been selected, then they go through the certification process? Is that the way you see it?
I don't have a specific answer for that right now. We have to have more visibility into the certification process. My sense is if there's really good stuff out there, we should not be held back because it isn't currently certified. That's my view on it right now. And that's, you know, obviously I'd like you guys to think about that as well. That's why you're here. But, you know, frankly, I think we have to have more visibility into the certification process. And if you think that needs to be a factor as part of the selection process, you know, obviously I'm certainly open to it. But again, my emphasis is to have a long-term solution for the state.
Can I go back to the funding? Would you be amenable to asking for general funds, state general funds, to help defray the cost of this implementation of this in the 2014 legislative session?
I can tell you I wouldn't oppose it. To the extent I want to play an active role, I have to consider that. But I would not oppose that at all.
I think that would be helpful. This is Connie from Morgan. And I just think that would be helpful because I know I've been hearing from a lot of my constituents that the problem is it's another unfunded mandate. You know, I mean, it's just very, very tough for medium and small as well as large counties. And I know the commissioners are very, very concerned about this, of course. And one other thought too, which was on the pilot counties. I know that there's in several counties which absolutely have to change over now. What would be the consideration of allowing, you know, pick a system and allowing those people to be the pilot counties? They could perhaps lease something and then see if it all works before carrying forward. That way it even give these other counties a little more opportunity to buff up their budgets so that they could purchase this. So that's some of the considerations that I've heard.
I'm amenable to that discussion, definitely. Right now I don't have a specific viewpoint on it, just because I don't have enough information or knowledge on the transition process.
I have one more issue having to do with the three vendors that are already been picked or selected as part of the UVS system without going through the RFP process. Is there any rationale for that?
Yeah, we had to get it done, and it's done.
No. Had to get it done. I wish I could do that.
Well, sometimes you're able to, sometimes you're not. Look, I mean, the UACAVA, the way I look at it is, different counties use different vendors. And we had at least one vendor we know of that didn't work out as well as people had hoped, and we had at least one vendor that did exceedingly well. We wound up choosing that vendor, and the state paid for it, and it's worked out well. Election night reporting, that's up and running. What we did is we sort of surveyed counties as well and saw what was out there and looked at the vendor base. And on demand, same approach, we got it done. Now, that on demand was a little bit different, and that had we not done that, we would have lost the ability to have federal funding for it. So we were able to have that entirely paid for by the federal government. If we had waited for this process, we would have just never had it. And you'd have had another question on how to spend, $1.2 million, how to find $1.2 million to pay for that. And we were able to get that done. So, it's done.
So I, oh, go ahead, Deb.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I had a question. You know, this is the first time I'd heard it being mandatory. I missed a couple meetings, and so I'd always thought about it as being the opt-in thing. So when you're talking about mandatory, what kind of time frame is your expectation?
I don't have a full time frame on that. The reason why I've got a sense of urgency with it now is I know some counties need to begin transitioning, okay? And we need to be sensitive to that. My sense is with a lot of counties, you know, so the majority of counties, small, medium-sized counties, use the HART system, okay? With what, 40-some counties that do that? And my sense is y'all pretty much purchase the equipment 05, 06 time frame, mm-hmm. and that you're looking at about a 10-year life cycle for that equipment.
10 to 15.
Okay. So my sense is, you know, around 10 years is when those counties would transition onto this, which would be 2016. So that wouldn't be the 2014, but we're looking at the 2016. And there's some flexibility in there. I'm not, I don't want you to interpret me saying that 2016 is the drop deadline for those HART counties. But that's sort of what I'm thinking, and I know different counties have different time frames based on their equipment. So it is mandatory. But I'm looking at a transition of grandfather clause because I don't want to be in the position of telling counties that you have to throw out all your equipment, even if it continues to work fine. You know, I'm not, I don't want to do that. So the transition, I think, is one of the issues that I want you all to grapple with as well, to provide input there because, that's part of the implementation of the system. So, my hope is that the approach we take will be cost effective enough that it's going to be highly attractive to counties to shorten their life cycle with that and accelerate their capital equipment purchases because they'll find substantial savings from a life cycle cost as far as their licensing and maintenance fees that they're paying right now.
Mr. Secretary? It's Wayne Williams down in El Paso.
Hi, Wayne.
There is, on those notes, a concern for, and I'm getting an echo, so I apologize if I sound odd. There's a concern on that with a specific date for a rollover because there are many counties that might have equipment that lasts for quite some time. So I guess I'm not clear what you're referring to when you say a hard deadline that might only be a few years away.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. I said I don't want to, at this point, say there's a hard deadline a few years away. That's not my
okay.
point thing. I was using HART as an example to when I would expect HART counties to begin their transition over to a uniform system. That was my point. But look, I mean, I know the transition is an issue. The implementation of this is an issue. And that's why I'd like to get your views. I think staff in the state has done I think we've surveyed counties, so we have a pretty good sense of baseline data for when counties, you know, what the life expectancy is for just about every county's equipment. So we do have a substantial amount of baseline information that we can begin using for planning purposes.
Secretary Gessler?
I'm going to let Chairwoman Johnson be the traffic controller here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sheila, go ahead.
I was just wondering if on ballot on demand, then, since it's already deemed as a uniform system, is there a negotiated price? Because I know there's a lot of counties out there that are ready to purchase.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up just a little bit.
I was wondering if there's a negotiated state price for the ballot on demand printers.
I don't know the answer to that question, because you're saying counties want some more of what they already have. Okay, I don't know the answer
yeah.
to that. Okay, so Christy's shaking her head. That's probably something we need to start moving on then.
Yeah, we have license fees negotiated, but we don't have anything relating to the actual printers themselves, and those can be quite expensive. That's the more expensive piece of that. I think, Sheila, that's a really great point, and we probably need to start contract negotiations with Runbeck with that.
Yeah, we'll hop on that. Let's help and start moving on that.
George, go ahead, George.
I just wanted to go back for a second to a question from the chair earlier. I might be a little behind the curve, so I apologize if we're covering ground we've done already. But so there are three vendors now. We've cut the list down to only three that the RFP is going to be distributed to. Is that correct?
No. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the question was there are three vendors that are essentially sort of components of a uniform system already. One vendor is Everyone Counts for UACABA, okay? UACABA delivery. One vendor is SOE with election night reporting, which we implemented last cycle. Well, we implemented both of these last cycle. And one of the vendors is Runbeck, which manufactured the printers that we distributed to all the counties for on-demand ballots. So we've already purchased the equipment from those three, and they're three different vendors.
I see. Okay. So that you're trying to take that those vendors off the table because they are already supplying those.
We've already paid for them. They're already done.
I see. Okay. Yeah. I misunderstood. Thank you.
Sure.
Yes.
Faith Gross. I want to go back to our time frame again. And I'm sorry because I keep beating this horse, and it probably is dead. But I'm going to continue to
beat away.
And again, my concern is because the equipment that is getting certified is being certified to old standards in 2005 VVSG, and some of the equipment that's out there is actually 2002. And none of it, in the opinion of the disability community, is nationally accessible enough. So that's where typically I'm coming from. But I'm wondering if the number one driving factor for this aggressive time frame is the fact that there's a handful of counties that need to replace or update their equipment, has anybody considered another solution? As we move to a new model for elections as a result of House Bill 1303, is it possible that there are some, as particularly large counties, that may have a lot of equipment that they will not be using under the new model, and that equipment could be loaned to the counties that need, that have the issue and need to update or replace their equipment? I'm just wondering if we can't get outside of the box of moving forward with a massive RFP and, you know, all this, and solve that more pressing problem, and then be able to take more time to move forward with the uniform.
Let me ask y'all something. I mean, what all time do you need? I mean, are you waiting for a new vendor to come on the market? Do you think you don't have, there's insufficient time to evaluate vendors? I mean, what's the need? I mean, we've been talking about this uniform system for 2 years. I mean, we're 2 years into this process already. I mean, what specifically is where you think you need time? I mean, I spoke with the Aeropac Communications was sort of the public participation committee, and their view is, well, we wanted to have more time for participation. And my attitude was there is the reason we selected the people on that committee is because they're essentially very tied in to various advocacy communities and other people who are interested in that. And if they want participation, go out and get it. We got to move on this. So, but what all do you need more time with specifically?
Mm-hmm. Well, just to continue, from an accessibility perspective, the stuff that we have that's available out there today is not what it could be, and is not what I expect is going to be coming down in a few years. There are the two huge research grants that are out there right now from the Election Assistance Commission to look at improving accessible voting technology. And so maybe in 2016.
So you want time because you think in a few years there will be better technological solutions.
Absolutely.
In place. Okay. That's always going to happen. That's always going to happen. I'm telling you, and I've made the decision here, that's always going to happen. There will always be something better down the road in 2 or 3 years. Always. For everything.
Well, if I could continue.
Mm-hmm.
We already spent a huge amount of money nationally to meet the requirements of HAVA on what is considered to be or called accessible voting equipment, which is really not that accessible. And so it pains me to think that we would once again spend a lot of money on what is essentially going to be the same, in terms of accessibility, the same equipment that we have today, or the same level of accessibility that we have today.
Well, all that I can say is, you know, look, I am unwilling to wait for this process in the hopes that we'll get better equipment sometime in the future. Because there will be at least one component of the system where we will always be waiting on that, always. So if your concern is that there may be better equipment in the future, I don't see that as a basis for halting this process.
I'm just going to say, I think that the conversation we have this afternoon in reference to the RFP will bring to light a lot of issues. At least that my first glance at it, I have, you know, a few notes that we need to bring forth that, you know, I mean, you have a deadline of the 17th or whatever this is, and these aren't just little issues. I mean, these are major issues. You know, I mean, I, you know, already talked to Al about, you know, what is the evaluation criteria? What is the important, what are the things that you're going to rank as important and not important? I mean, the ranking of it. I mean, there's a lot of issues yet out there. That's my concern.
Okay.
One of my one worries is that we don't have an amount of equipment that we're saying we will purchase. I'm afraid that the price won't be good when we get it back. But we.
Jill, I'm sorry, I just can't hear you.
I think, help me if I'm wrong, Sheila, but what you were stating is that the RP does not indicate amounts of equipment. Are we purchasing one of these or 1,000 of these, so that the price points will be a lot different in the event that you have quantities in the RFP.
Yeah. And that's one of the challenges with a phased-in approach. That's the balance you have. We can do one or two things. We can say everyone has to transition in 2014 or 2016, and we have X number of units that we need on this date, and we get it done. Or what we can say on the other end of the spectrum is, you know, we have a purchase list, and we make an estimate, and the vendor makes an estimate and giving us pricing, and we just see how counties phase in or they don't. And there may be some middle ground within that, but those are the two, those are sort of the two ends. Look, I mean, if ultimately the clerk community and you all say, you know, we think it should be a hard phase in, everyone has to do it in 2016, I'm willing to go along with that, okay? And then we know exactly how many units to purchase of everything, or we're very close, and we can, you know, work on that as a basis of negotiation. But absent that type of certainty, you know, that's going to be a challenge. Now, it's one that other, you know, in other commercial arrangements, people are able to overcome and nonetheless negotiate pricing.
Danetta?
I guess, you know, and I think I kind of stated my concerns up front.
Mm-hmm.
The certification of it, I'd love before we did the RFP that there was some that had been certified by the state. That way we know that, okay, here's the requirements we are demanding. At least you know the equipment inside and out. That part bothers me as well as the funding. Those are the two issues that I wish that we had settled prior to the RFP going out there.
Well, I think you may be getting a little ahead of yourself. So remember, I mean, this is the RFP. It's not the evaluation of the responses. I mean, I think a lot of that occurs in the evaluation of the responses. Funding, I mean, we've talked about funding again and again. And look, I actually had a good faith solution the last session. I'm certainly willing to listen to any solutions you may have. And if your solution is going to the General Assembly and asking for money, I'm not going to oppose that. I may actively support. I just don't know what this office's priorities are going to be this next legislative session. But if that's your solution, that's it. If you have another solution, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, you got to have elections equipment. And whether we like it or not, the General Assembly consistently provides these requirements upon counties, and we saw a substantial number of them come down this last session, and counties have to pay for it. It's not something that I've set as state policy. That's the way it is. I'm looking at a way to try and make things cheaper and easier. Okay? That's the most I can do. I don't control the purse strings within the state. And my solution was we weren't able to push that forward. Okay? So if you all have solutions for it, that's fine. To date, your solutions have been to take money from my budget. And we've provided more and more of them. But that budget is very limited at the end of the day. So when it comes to financing, I would, there's a little frustration in my voice because I hear complaints about it. Would you all need to come up with solutions as well? Okay. UBS is a partial solution to those costs because it will reduce our costs.
And I agree with that.
Well,
totally.
Then, all that I'm saying is, I got it. I understand the financing component. And I understand the certification component. I got it. And we need to get more visibility into the certification. And if there's other creative solutions on financing, I'm certainly open to it.
Any other questions, comments for the secretary? Thank you, sir.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Look, on the timing, happy to have those discussions. Okay? I don't want to completely cut that off. I understand. But I do want to understand with more granularity as to exactly what you mean by that. So, Faith, I understand your comments. And I consider those. And, you know, at some point we have to make decisions. If there's other specific reasons, I'm certainly want to talk about those in the investment. Okay. So I think that's fair.
Thank you.
All right.
Anything?
Again, thank you all for being here, and thank you for the work you're doing. And Sheila and Wayne, thank you as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Let's take a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back and continue on the agenda. Thanks.